morning, everyone. This is the Sunday after Easter, but I want to say that the women of the church, several of you, I think it was what? How many went to the Transform Women's Conference? How many? 14, 15? So that was good. We had a good turnout there, and I always hear good things about it, so that's good. They always come back revived and rejuvenated for the most part. And if you've not been to one of those, they'll do it again next year and step out of your comfort zone and do something. Amen? Yeah. So we had, if you're here first time in New Life, I do see some new faces, but it's good to have you here. So we welcome you here in New Life. But we are completing the series. So we've went through the whole story of Jesus, starting with the Last Supper, and we moved from there. We went through the garden, and the prayer of the garden, to Jesus' arrest, to his flogging and his beating, to the crucifixion. And we went through and also talked about his death and his burial. And we celebrated the resurrection last Sunday at Easter, and we had a good service. And the question always is, what do we do next? What is next? Well, that's what I want to talk about today to end this series. And now it's not about what all Jesus has done. Now it's about what he wants to do through you. The salvation gift is amazing. There's no greater gift than what God has given to us at the cost of Christ's life so that we might have life and have it eternally. But here today, I want to share with you. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to Matthew chapter 16. I got three places I want to share today. And I want to start in Matthew here. And I want to work through some things. I want to help us maybe. We are all on different levels in our faith today. We are all different places in our walk in this world today. But my goal for you is to step up and step just a little bit closer to the Lord today. Now, some of you are stepping away from the Lord. Some of you are pushing him back. I want to remind you that the more you push back, the more he loves you. And the more he will work on you. And if that causes you a little pain, he's okay with that, because he knows what's better for you to draw yourself back to him. This message is about those who don't know Christ a little bit. We'll be covering some places in there. But it's about the believer. It's also about the prodigals and those who are struggling in their walk. It's about all of us in one way or another. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. We see a piece that's called Take Up Your Cross. That is the first piece I want to talk about this morning, about taking up the cross. We think we understand sometimes what that truly means, but it is really deep. There's a lot in here. We're going to work through it quickly. But I want to remind you, you need to know where you are with the Lord today. He says in verse 24, then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. A lost person follows themselves. They follow the world. That's what they do. That's what a lost person does. But a believer is to follow Christ. They are to follow Jesus. That's what they're to follow. But as we begin to walk in our walk, we get excited about our salvation. We go through the experience of baptism. We do the baptism piece. And then we begin to experience some opportunities for communion. We take communion, remembrance of Christ's body and the blood that he shed. We have those intimate moments with him. And we might serve somewhere, maybe in the church. We might start maybe in one spot or another and just begin to poke into the ministry world just a little bit. And we pull our hands out. We step in and out. And then we find ourselves sometimes just completely stepping away. Now listen, I've spent some time praying about this message, because this can hurt some feelings. Not hurt feelings. It'll just mess you up a little bit. But it's okay, right? If we're trying to draw to the Lord, God wants to talk about the elephant in the room. But it's not about the elephant that's in the room. It's the elephant that's in this room. It's the one that's in this room. You can come to church every Sunday. You can come every Wednesday night. But sometimes there is an elephant that's in here that we don't want to talk about. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to talk about. It is time for New Life to get more biblical literate. It is time for us to grow in our walk with Christ, and you can't do that without learning about the Bible. Some of my preaching styles, you guys that preach, I'm just going to tell you, your style will change when the Lord wants it. Changes in seasons. It just changes. Here, just doing more and more expository, trying to do more and more of that as much as possible. But here we see, he says, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself. What it's saying is, you're no longer in charge. It's true. If you want to have a complicated Christian life, just keep your hands on the steering wheel. Just do what you want to do and try to be a follower of Christ. You're going to struggle. Period. You're going to struggle. I'm going to do something for the Lord when I feel, when I'm ready for it. I'm going to do this, or I might participate in that, or I'm going to do this when I feel like I'm good and ready. Or maybe, and let me tell you, people always say, well, I'm not qualified. Listen, God loves to take the unqualified and qualify them. But we just love to put more stuff in front to keep us from doing that, because there is a sacrifice. That's why it's called take up your cross. There is a sacrifice. So first we have to deny himself, and this says take up his cross, okay? Take up his cross. It didn't say take up my cross. You take up his cross. It's what he believes, what he's all about. We take that with us. No longer of the world, and we are to follow his will and his ways. A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of believers don't want to do that. But he says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. What? But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. First of all, you can't save your life. That's why you lose it. You can't save yourself. But also, it's talking about living in the world. But whoever loses his life because of the Lord, you'll find it. So there's those points in my life where I was going on my journey, the things that I wanted to do and I wanted to be, and I was going through some of those, decently successful, got to some places, but I found out that that's not what the Lord called me to do. He wanted me to go into a different direction. I had to let that go. Actually, I had to bury it. I had to walk away from it. I had to leave that life alone. I had to leave that career alone. It's done. It's over. That's what it means to deny yourself. Your dreams, they need to be godly dreams. They need to be of the Lord. We may not always understand them. And we take up that cross and we follow the Lord. We follow the Lord Jesus. And he is always going to lead you to something better than you ever could do on your own. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. But wherever the Lord is, that's where you should want to be. He says, for what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses it, loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? The Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. And that's the part. You're not that whole thing of rewards and things. I've heard people say is, oh, I don't really care when I get to heaven to be with the Lord. God can just put me in. There's even a song in the hymn book, I don't care for, just give me a cabin. Y'all know that song. You're not as old as I am, maybe. He knows that song. Of course, Phil Jones would. But just build me a cabin. I don't need no cabin. I don't want no cabin. I don't want no cabin in the corner of heaven. I want to be right there where it's all going on. And people just say, well, you don't want to just get in. No, you want to serve the Lord. You want to be a part of what's going on. You don't want to go walking around. You serve, and people say, well, I don't really care about awards. I don't really care about rewards. Listen, if the Lord Jesus talks about rewards, you better think it's important. It's important because he said it's important. And I'm going to give to those who serve me, and I'm going to reward them, and I'm sure the Lord knows how to reward very well. things that we do not even understand. But yet some of us are still playing our thing because we don't want the Lord. We want to do our thing. So we are to pick up the cross and we're to carry it. Means my life is no longer mine. But really, how good was it without him anyway, really, right? How good was life without Christ anyway? It's not that good. It's not that good. But he doesn't just stop at, you know, the scripture shares some other things. I'm going to be in Romans here now, in Romans 12, because this is about what happens next. After we have all the salvation and the baptism and the communion and getting in and starting to grow in our walk with the Lord, Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12. Many of us heard it, but we need to let it sink in again. It says, therefore, in verse 1, brothers and sisters, these are for the believers, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Folks, I'm telling you, Satan loves to work in this area. He loves to work in this area. He loves to work in this area. He really does. God doesn't dwell in this building. He dwells here when we're here. But he dwells in the people, inside the people. That's where it's at. And this is the temple. The body is the temple. And it is a living sacrifice that we're living out every day. It is holy. When you become a believer, your body, your whole self, your mind, your spirit, your body become holy. That's a lot to take in right there. Holy. You're set apart. Let me tell you, there's a lot that happens at salvation. It is holy. And it's pleasing to God. And he says, this is your true worship. You're not going to have the experience of great high experiences all the time. You can't live on high experiences all the time. But what you need to know is that you have to live daily with the Lord. And when you get up in the morning, your body, your mind, your body is whole. You're holy. So every day is an act of worship for you, living your life. You don't mutilate it. Now, I'm not talking about tattoos. I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm not into that. I'm talking about mutilating it with like razors when people cut themselves. God doesn't want that. But folks, just to let you know, there are believers that struggle with things and the dark side works inside, works their minds, and they use that as a release, or they can't work through a problem. And they more mostly it's females, but there are some males. I've known a few males that have done that. And there are, I mean, they can be really, it's a really ugly sight. It's a really hurtful thing. But mutilating your body. We're kind of doing that in America today anyway, aren't we? I don't want to be this, but I want to be that. That's mutilating the body. Let me just tell you, God don't make mistakes. Yep, one day that may be illegal just to say that. And now you didn't have to say it, but you all knew what I was talking about. But we have to be careful. A body is holy. Here's a big one. Sex outside of marriage. Sex is a good thing. God created it. But it goes for male, female, married, jointly together, made commitments, they are as one. We don't put things in our body that makes our mind deranged. What does it say? Verse 2, do not be conformed to this age. Don't be a part of it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing in God's perfect will. One part, we have the body that we are to use in our life, and it's hard. Sometimes, you know, your hormones are 100 miles an hour, you're 23 years old, whatever it is. You got to get the Lord to help you calm some of those hormones down. Sometimes carrying the cross is hard. Yeah? But you can do it. You can do all things through Christ, right? Who strengthens me. That's the stuff. Like, that's where the scripture comes into play. That's when the scripture comes into play. But he also says, don't be like the world. Your mind needs to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind becomes new in Christ. It becomes new. Because in the old, with the old, without the renewing of your mind, you can't discern the things that are God and the things that are not of God. You're just using your conscience. You're just using education. You're just using your mind, your thought pattern, your conscience. But when you have the Holy Spirit and your mind is renewed with the Lord Jesus Christ and your body is whole, doesn't mean you are this perfect human being. There is no one perfect. Not on this side. There is no one perfect. But so many people come up and ask, I don't know. I have a choice I got to make. And it's good to have someone pray with you and help you through that. But the scripture says that when you have a renewed mind, what's it say? Experience the power of the scripture. It says, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. When you go to Christ and your mind has been renewed in Christ and in His Word, He will show you, you will have understanding and you will be able to discern what God wants, and it will be His good, pleasing will. We complicate it by trying to do it our way. We complicate it by not doing it God's way. God is clear. He is not the author of confusion. We know who that is. That's Satan, if you didn't know. He loves to confuse. He loves to divide. He loves to cause arguments. He loves to cause division. Jesus is about unity. Loving people that don't look like you. Loving the sinner. So not only are we supposed to carry our cross, but we're also supposed to be a living sacrifice with our body and our minds. Now those two sections right there with an individual is living those sections out. And we're going to have some bumps in the road, but you're living them out. I'm telling you, you are a walking lighthouse in a very dark world. God is, He will use you. He will use you. And you will feel the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of you. You will have fresh testimonies pretty much on a regular basis. And if it's not the things that you might be thinking of, your testimonies could even be to the place where you are just a person who loves to praise the Lord in a way because you understand what God has done for you. And then we move to this third piece. After Jesus talks about love as our primary duty, He begins this part here in chapter 13, starting verse 11. Besides this, since you know the time, it is already the hour for you. It is already the hour for you. Here is the emergency piece. It is already the hour for you to wake up. You need to wake up, not in the flesh, but spiritually. You need to wake up. We need to wake up spiritually. We need to become alive. Satan loves it when believers go to the pig pen, being the prodigal child. He loves it when people walk away from the church. He loves it when people will not do what God's called them to do. He loves it. He will do anything and everything to keep you. He can't take your salvation away, but what He will do is He will just be your thorn in the side. Just get it right now. He's going to be your thorn in the side until the day you die and get into the presence of the Lord. He can't go there no more. But He will be a thorn in your side, knowing that you have an enemy. He's going to be a thorn in your side, and He's going to work against you so that you are not being used by the kingdom of God. That's it. That you will not share the gospel, that you will not be the person, the man, the woman that God desires you to be. But here the scripture says, wake up from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We need to wake up in our salvation. We need to wake up what's going on around us. We need to wake up. You got one shot in life. You're going around the track one time. Some people's tracks are bigger than others, but you get one lap. That's it. How'd last year go for you? How'd the last 12 months go for you? I can give you two scenarios. One, if it didn't go so well, and you are a believer and you're walking in the wills and the ways of God, it didn't go so well, you'll be able to testify and say, it didn't go so great, but I still have the peace of God in me. I'm victorious over this. This is just temporal. I was even blessed through it and blessed by it. The Christian who goes through it and says, oh, I didn't have such a great year. I just don't understand. I just don't understand why all this stuff is happening to me. I just don't get it. Why is this happening? I don't understand it. Where is God anyway? Now, we all can get to a place like that for a moment. But those moments should only be for a moment. It is the person who is walking and being that living sacrifice to God and to Christ that can go through the storms and even go through it, even with a smile sometimes. It might be slight, but it's there. But the peace of God is with them. But he says, wake up. It's time to wake up. Listen, the best work that you've done for God shouldn't be in the rearview mirror. It should be in front of you. Now, I understand there's times of retirements and things, but God is basically this. It isn't about all the positions. Is God still using you? Are you still letting God use you? There are phases and chapters in our life that things may look, oh, they used to do this, they used to do that. But my thing is, yes, that's good, but what is God doing with you today? And listen, the big things that God was doing with you, sometimes the little things that you're doing right now are still big things to God. The people might be small things, but if you're doing what God has called you to do, you're doing His will, you're in the right place. You're doing exactly what you need to be doing. You're doing and living out His will. There's nothing better that you can be doing than living in God's will. But he says this, the night is nearly over and the day is near. What he's saying, time is running out. One of two things are going to happen. One, are you going to die? We're all going to die. For a person to be born and a person to die, it's just the way it is. Or Jesus is coming back. Either way, time is ticking. That's why he says to wake up. But the night is nearly over and the day is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Get away from all the junk and sinful things out of the world, out of your life. Listen, we have to live in this world. We have to live in the world. We have to live with the sin around us. But we need to discard. We need to get rid of that junk. We need to take the trash out. Does it make sense? And the trash, a lot of it comes from here, here, and what we do with this. Yeah. Yeah. And what we say out of here, folks. What we say with this gets us in trouble big time. But he says, put on the armor of light. We are to be different. The world is so dark, and there needs to be some hope in this world. And when someone says, how are you like? How can you be happy? What's going on? You seem different. You know what? A believer in Christ is always this. Well, let me tell you what Jesus is doing in my life. Now, it may take a couple of weeks to get there because you're just like, Lord, I don't know what to say. But God will keep opening that door. But when you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Speak out what the Holy Spirit wants you to say. Because if the Holy Spirit, listen to me, if the Holy Spirit is working on you to say something, He's already been working on them to hear something. And you have to be ready to say what He wants you to say. Because darkness is coming. Then He says in verse 13, let us walk with decency. We shouldn't be ashamed on how we live. Amen? People should be able to walk in your home and you should not be like, oh, I've got to hide this, I've got to hide that, I've got to hide this. Why would we want to hide things from people when God sees all things? Really, I'm serious. And you know what? I don't know what those things can be, but we do. We want to put up for other people, but we don't want to do it for the Lord. But let us walk with decency as in daytime, not in the carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity or promiscuity, not in quarrels and jealousy. There's a lot of junk right there. You know where that happens a lot? Families. No one knows your family more than your family. And we can hold grudges in our family. We can hold secrets in our family. I know what you did. You know what I did. You know what I did. Listen, when Jesus becomes a part of your life and that family knows you, sometimes you just got to say, okay, yeah, I was a part of that. I did those things, but I'm not that same person. I'm not that same person. And sometimes your families don't want to talk to you anymore because you're not being that old person. You know what you got to do? You got to love them. And you got to love them sometimes from a distance. Because you get around them and there might be temptation. So you make circles. You make circles. We teach this. And you got to put people outside your circles to a different circle. I can spend 5 minutes on the phone with this person, but after that, we always get in an argument. But I'm going to call them and say I love them, whatever it may be. Don't cut people out of your life because Jesus doesn't want you to cut people out of your life. He just wants you to be smart about it. Because you may be the only light in their life. But you also got to be smart and know that certain people you get around might just, there's temptation. You have to put some balances and boundaries there. But then he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Folks, that's hard. That's hard to do sometimes. Especially in the world today. We want to get up in the flesh and we want to get angry because what we're seeing in the news or what we've heard, this is going on in the political world. I mean, you've watched the news so much, Carl has to say, get off that. I have to. I can get a little bit upset about what's going on. Listen, folks, right now there is more sin going on children. It disgusts me. So much things with our children. And I'm telling you, Jesus had some serious things to say about when you cause a child, one of these young ones, to sin. God sees it, and America is leading the way in this getting children to sin. What they want to put in books in their libraries at school, what they want to put there, how they just want to say at 3 years old that you can pick your own identity. Come on. I'm going to turn around and do these. Oh, I got to be careful. Oh. But do these little. That's what it is. It's transgender dancing and stuff in these schools and stuff. Listen, that's sinful. I don't care who it is. That is a flat-out sin. Causing children to sin. And then we're asking God to bless our nation? You serious? So we have to put on Jesus. And when we do that, the light, it says we're the light, and we start shining in the darkness, and demonic doesn't like that. The lost world doesn't like that. So they want to push back and put your light out. They don't want their deeds to be seen. They don't want that evil to be noticed. They want all that stuff we're talking about, just even the incident. I mean, come on now. We've even made marijuana just pretty much legal. Any user knows it's the gateway drug. Anybody that's overcome that addiction knows, that's lived that lifestyle, knows that that is the gateway drug, period. We are foolish. But we are going into these times where what is right is wrong and what's wrong is right. But you know what? We're still, the Bible doesn't say we change when things are changing in the world. We are still to be the light of the world. Folks, you want to see how dark it can get? You wait until Jesus pulls every believer off the face of the planet Earth. And this place will be so dark and so evil. And that's where you see all that stuff in Revelation. I mean, it is dark. Imagine 144,000 of the believers going around sharing the gospel. My gosh. We are still, right now, we're in the moment where we need to let that light shine off our light, off our ourselves, in our conversations, in our acts, in the things that we do. There should be no doubt about it. That if I seen one of you out there, it'd be like, hey, you're not embarrassed or anything, or I'm not. But if we are embarrassed, you know why we're embarrassed? Because the Holy Spirit just prompted us. Oh, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be doing this. We need to get ourselves right with the Lord. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't make plans to gratify the desires of the flesh. As a believer, I am to be different than the world. And that's what Scripture tells me. But if you're a believer, you are also called to be different than the world. You are to be a streaming light wherever you go. I can't prove this, but I don't know how, but I know through Scripture, reading, that demonic knows who's saved and who's not saved. We read Scripture. I know about Paul. I know Jesus, but who are you? If you know the story I was just referencing, they know, somehow they know who believers are. I don't know if there's a spiritual light wherever we walk. They know who's saved, who's not, but they know how to identify. There's something they see in the flesh we can't see. So if it's identifiable in the spiritual world in a way like that, how does it work in the flesh? It's all on how you act, what you say, who you are, where you're at. All those things displays who you are. Are you a believer? They should know by how you act and how you speak and how you do things and how you make choices. We are called to carry a cross that is actually too heavy for us. That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit. We are called to be a living sacrifice. My body don't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and because I'm married, it belongs to Carla. But also, there's a renewing of my mind. I shouldn't think like the way what it was when you're lost. You think of the new ways. That's why God gave us the Scriptures. Okay? But also, he says to put on Christ. We're to be the light in a dark world. And he challenges us to wake up, oh sleeper. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Don't let your best deeds for the Lord, don't let your best life for the Lord be in the rear. It should be today. Well, I don't preach and I don't teach. You want to know something? I thought about that a long time ago too. And the Lord the Spirit just guides me to Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah is standing there before the great throne. Holy, holy, holy. They were saffron just flying around. If you want to get close to God, guess what? I didn't see anything that was closer than them. Holy, 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 just flying around. Covering her face. Flying, covering. Isaiah says, I fell like a dead man. I am a sinner. And God knew that. Then one flies down and puts tongs and puts this hot coal on his tongue. Forgiveness. And then there was a conversation. But until that sin was taken care of, there was no conversation. Holy, holy, holy. Let me tell you, you don't have to preach. You don't do that unless God's called you to. You're a light where you are. And that's hard enough. There's neighbors that you live next to that I don't know who they are, but you do. God doesn't just give us houses because we want one. He doesn't plant you in places and just because you want to be there. Sometimes he puts us in places because you're going to be my light in this neighborhood. You're going to be my light in that neighborhood. You're going to be the light out here in this country area. You're going to be out here. Why? Because it is found that no one should have excuse that they never heard the gospel. So what do we do with all this stuff after we get to the resurrection? We are to live our life as Christ called us to do. Be the light in a dark world. To wake up and be all that we can be through Christ. Never say that all I do is pray. I wish there were more that would say, I think God just wants me to pray. Because we've forgotten the power of prayer. Amen? Now I want you to understand, no one knows you better than yourself, but no one knows you even more than Jesus Christ. Some of us have been sleeping for a while. Some of us have been upset with the Lord. Some of us have been not where we need to be. But I'm telling you, I can preach all day and it doesn't matter. If you are going to be stubborn and you're not going to do what God wants you to do, it's time to let go. Folks, no one wants you to be better at life than Jesus himself. No one. No one. What does Jesus want from you? I can tell you this. I know he wants us to step at least one step closer. And whatever that is for you, you need to do that. If you don't have Christ in your life, you're living a world without Christ. You're doing your own thing. And I would ask you a question. How's that going for you? But if you need salvation, I'd love to share that with you. I can share that with you. With the questions you have, I'll do my best to answer them. But no matter what question you ask me, the answer is going to be, if you want salvation, it is only by Jesus Christ.